We're all ready to go.
Hello,
Yes.
everybody. It's another Thursday night, and your usual trio are back. We have the lovely Giselle up in Stranraer and Ngum in London, just looking very, what's the word, disorganized today, Ngum. You're looking very disorganized, okay? I was trying.
I'm very sorry, guys. This is London life. Coming home every 8 hours.
But no, we're grateful to have you that you could actually make it. We know you just got in from work, so thank you for that. And myself, Sidoni, and we're back for one of our usual conversations, just exploring Christian lifestyle topics, the Bible, how we can apply it to our normal everyday lives, and just sharing some of our experiences. So today we have been doing a series. We have actually a few series going on at the same time. So if you want to catch up on any past episodes, please log on to any of the podcasts or YouTube. The information is on the website, or it will be in the bio in the description. So you can log on and catch up. So we have different series going on, Fruits of the Spirit. We have Women of the Bible, which is our monthly series that we do, which is quite popular. And we also have the Beatitude series that we started, I think, a couple of months ago. So today we're going to carry on that series by looking at the third Beatitude, I think is where we got to. So we are going to look at and discuss the third Beatitude today and how that applies to us and what we can learn from it and what is there to learn from it. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 states the third beatitude as, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." So that says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." So just to recap, the first beatitude that we did was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's available for catch up if you want to listen back on that. The second that we did was, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And today is the third of the Beatitudes, which is, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." So let's start off the conversation. I think it'll be good to start off by maybe explaining what we understand as the word meek, because I think sometimes the word meek can get misunderstood, certainly within the Christian context. It can get misunderstood or misconstrued. But G, let's start with you. The word meek, when you hear that, what would you describe that as?
Oh, that's a loaded question. But
Oh.
I would really describe that as someone being strong, being able to stand in their faith, being able to stand and have scripture upon scripture upon scripture to back them up in everything they're saying and doing. And yeah, just really strong in their faith, because meek doesn't mean that you're all like the weak church mouse and you're running about all sort of, "Please, sir, feed me." No, it's standing strong in who you are, knowing who you are in Christ.
Okay.
That's
I'm
what I.
doing the same to you. Yeah. Meek. When you hear meek, what do you think of? You're muted, by the way. You're on mute. Oh, I think she doesn't realize she's on mute, guys, so
Oh, sorry, guys. Ah, sorry. I was giving this whole spiel, right? So I said the first thing that I think of is, the saying people always say, meekness is not weakness. So
okay.
I think about that. And I suppose it's because sometimes I'm looking at the dictionary definition here on, I think it's Google Dictionary, and it says, meekness is quiet, gentle, and easily imposed on, right? So that's not a very positive, view of meek, and I think many people see meekness like that. But then I come to something else, and somebody kind of puts it, similar, quiet, gentle, but not necessarily weak. Like you're not a very aggressive person. And so for
Okay.
me, I feel like, yeah, weakness is what I would describe as humility, in the sense that you don't go out of your way to be overbearing to people. You kind of, yeah, you can express yourself without being loud, overbearing, imposing yourself on people. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that you're a supine kind of person. So that's where I think sometimes the confusion arises, because we live in a world where it's almost as if the loudest, the brashest, those are signs of strength. So if you're not like that, and then people think you're weak.
So yeah, so I suppose weakness is not weakness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I think of meekness, I'm thinking strength and power, but that is controlled.
Yeah.
It's
And
under
that's just what
control.
Eliza Cater said. She said, meekness, I think, is controlled strength.
Yes,
Yeah.
and the ability to control your power and your strength, and not, like you say, not wield it about, as perhaps the culture would have us do at the moment. Because I mean, even the in the Bible, I think it's in Matthew 11, it describes Jesus as meek and lowly, and the word meek is used to describe Jesus. And I mean, that could not, that's a complete paradox in and of itself. I mean, Jesus is God become flesh, so he's got all power, but that's controlled. And even in the way he deals with sinners who deserve the full, strength of his wrath, that anger which is deserved and that wrath which is deserved doesn't come across. That power is under control. He deals with us, ever so compassionately and graciously and forgivingly. And so yeah, but this particular beatitude tells us that there's a particular joy, there's a blessing that comes with being meek. There's a blessing and a joy. So it says, blessed are the meek. There's a blessing and a joy that comes with being meek. Why do you suppose that is? Just looking at that first part of the Beatitude, why do you suppose that it's telling us that there's a joy and a blessing that comes from having control of your power?
Who's
Almost.
that to? Who's that to? Nahum or me?
You go, G, you go. Okay.
Yes, you asked. I believe what that means is that when we're humble, and again, that's another one of those words that people misconstrued, the meaning of humble, humility, biblical humility, is giving God all the glory. Right. Again, it's not where we would come in humble lowliness to a king or a queen here in the earthly realm. Well, I wouldn't do that to a king or a queen here in the earthly realm anyway, but that's besides the point. So the meekness side of it, again, is the same thing. And I think that Eliza Kate really coined it beautifully. I think she came in after I said what it means. To me, it means strength and standing on your authority. But as she says, and as you were saying, Sidonie, that meekness is controlled strength. So to me, with your humbleness there, that you do have that controlled strength, you know who you are in Christ, but you're giving God all the glory for it. It's not you that's doing the work, it's God working through you. And to me, that is the meekness, because we know that Jesus, it is said that Jesus is meek and mild, but he might have been born an innocent little baby, and he suffered and died a horrible death for us. But when he comes back, he's not coming back as a meek, mild little baby. He's coming back as a roaring lion, the Lion of Judah.
And he is going to kick ass and take names. So he is. So there's that's the meekness. That's strength. So it is. That's not cowering.
Gonna unleash that strength.
Yes, big time. Yes.
Ah, Gum. Same
yes.
to you. There's a blessing
okay.
in meekness that we're told here. Blessed are the meek.
That's I think it's a very, I think I see it from a very practical place in the sense
okay.
that, you know, if you don't shout your mouth off too much and display too much strength, you kind of keep yourself out of a lot of danger. It's not to say that you cannot be assertive, but there's a wisdom in meekness, sorry. And I think I'll use the example of Jael in the Bible. If anybody
Okay.
has ever read the story of Jael, there's a strength in meekness that people don't really understand, because this is a woman who was able to bring a warrior down, you know, with a kitchen utensil, if I'm not mistaken. So sometimes you don't always have to go and display, right? And you know, this is very interesting, because this is not even only in Christianity. I know that as a kid, I used to watch a lot of Chinese movies, and you know how philosophical they can be in Chinese movies. And one of the things that they will teach you in their fighting techniques is look weak, so that your opponent will underestimate you. And then when you hit them, you're hitting them twice, because it's not just the pain that you're inflicting on them, it's the absolute shock that you can even do such a thing. So there is a lot of wisdom in meekness. And I think this is where you really need the Holy Spirit, because I feel like as human beings, you know, we have the flesh is a thing, certainly for me. There are times when you just want to lash out, you know, you just go with your emotions. But that will not necessarily get you to where you want to be. And I've seen that in my own life, where even if you are right, you know, sometimes you just need to stop back and say to God, whoa, how should I handle this, right? And even though you are right, you could really go that way, and God is just like, chill. And if you do things the meek way, you get your result. It is generally very counterintuitive to our flesh.
It is.
But it's one of those things where I think the more you really consult God, because God sees everything, right? He sees the rudiments, the little curves that you don't see. And so sometimes it's just like, and I think Giselle, you said it, letting God do it for you. Like, who can fight your enemy for you better than God? Like, I want to outsource every battle that I have to God, if I'm honest.
Exactly. It really is all about having willingness to submit to God. Having
if
willingness
to
let
God.
The Holy Spirit work through us. Because you know, too many of us, oh yeah, God, I want you to work through me, but in my terms.
I'll do it my way, And and I think when you have to be meek, right, there is a kind of discipline, like you said about strength. People always feel that strength is a physical thing. It's how you go into a room and you threaten people and you shout this, you shout that, and you know, you even go physical. But it takes a lot of guts to not react when you want to react. Like the level of psychological strength, I think there's, is it the book of Proverbs that says something like, the person who can hold their temper, I'm just paraphrasing, is stronger than a person who takes a city. That is so true. If you have ever had to just tell your emotions, you know, simmer down, that stuff is not easy. It's not for the weak.
Yeah, it is certainly a discipline. And perhaps it probably comes easier to some than others.
Yeah, definitely.
Because some people can have the ability to perhaps hold their tongue a bit more. But you know, I think the late Queen Elizabeth said, you know, it's harder to do nothing in the face of aggression or in the face of provocation than it is to do something.
Yes. He's absolutely right.
It's harder to do nothing. And I think maybe that's something, because like you say, that's counterintuitive. It goes against our very nature. And the only way you can rightly be meek is with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The only way you can rightly exert your power and your authority in a controlled way, so not, you know, meekness, not weakness, But the only way you can exert that power and authority or your point of view or whatever in a controlled way, especially in the face of what you would consider provocation, is with the help of the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit to help you in that, in everyday life, then you really are blessed. That really is a blessing. Because sometimes, and I know we all have those days where it just feels like the minute you step out your front door, people are waiting.
Man.
Yep.
To annoy you.
Yep. I know. Right? Some put days. In front of you.
Yeah.
And Eliza Kate in the live stream, she coined it beautifully as well. She's saying, really, I think what we three are saying, she writes, meekness is possible when you know Christ is your strength. You no longer need to rage against the world because you have his strength. And that's
Wow.
Isn't that powerful?
Thank you for that, Eliza.
That is good. Thanks, Eliza.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She really explained it very well, very poetically. Too. Yeah.
That it's knowing the authority we have in Christ in us. We know all the little cliches and all the little memes and things that go about social medias and everything. You know, like, you know, when the world throws a pile of lemons at you, learn how to make lemonade, and storms of life come, you know, learn how to dance in the rain. That's all true. You can only do that when you have the peace of God in you. Things will rage around you. And what we have to remember is that storms of life will come crashing in on us. I think, was it on Tuesday night I said it, or Sunday night? Can't remember, but I did come off with a quotation that a lot of the storms in life don't come to disrupt our lives. They come to clear paths. We need to know the difference. We need to be so spiritually in tune with God that when a storm comes, we know whether it is God ready to clear a path for it, and letting him have your way, Lord. Don't we? I'm a God to remember too, that when Christ was on the boat and the storm raging, and everybody was, oh, come on, you're laying sleeping and we're all about to die. Christ was in the middle of the storm with them. He wasn't on the outside looking in.
Yeah, and he was chilling.
He was there with them. So he is there with us. And Christy Dawn Healy is in the live stream now. She says hello, everybody. Hello, Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Oh, hi, Christy.
Lovely to have you. and Paul writes in Romans 12:3, he says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone amongst you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think." This is a sobering verse for me every day, by the way. But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And that's the NRSV version. But that's also having the right, you know, I think somebody described, I think it was, I don't know if it's Spurgeon, he described humility as having the right assessment of yourself. But it's that whole thing of, you know, Paul writes it here, if you think of yourself with sober judgment and know that you are fallen and know that you are tempted to run your mouth and, you know, say how the big man that you think you are, the big woman that you think you are, if you know that about yourself, then you're more likely to ask for God to give you the grace to be meek in certain situations, because that's hard. And Paul acknowledges that, and he says, you know, if we have the right assessment of ourselves, i.e. if we're humble enough to accept that, you know, we can't do this on our own, then the grace of God is there available for us to help us move it. But then that brings us quite beautifully to the second part of that beatitude, which is the promise. And there's a promise there for those that are meek. And it says, they will inherit the earth. Yes. Blessed are the meek, or they will inherit the earth. They will inherit the earth. When you hear that, you sort of, it sounds very Christian-y. It sounds like, you know, Christianese. And so let's break it down for people that are perhaps new Christians or are not Christians and have stumbled across this, and you know they're thinking they'll inherit the earth. What's that? I mean, if you're not a Christian, how would you explain? How would you explain that?
I'm gonna have loads of money and everything.
Oh, here, yes. Where's the holy hanky? Come on, where's the holy hanky? Come on,
holy hanky. Yeah,
$20.
What's the phone number?
And all your problems will be solved. Come on.
Yes, and you can just see how people can capitalize on that, right? You can see how some prosperity preachers can really milk that.
Inheriting the earth. It's when the New Jerusalem comes down after the rapture and after the 7 years and the New Jerusalem comes down. It's those of us that have stood the test of time. It's those of us that have not given in to the mark of the beast. It's those of us that have just really stood the test of time and stood in our faith in Christ. We will inherit the earth. We will come down with the new kingdom, the New Jerusalem. I believe that's us inheriting the earth, you know, and the gentle and lowly, or the meekness and lowly. What we're saying is that's our strength, that's our faith in Christ. For they will, for the whole earth will belong in them, is my version of the Bible, because I'm reading the NLT.
Okay.
We will inherit. We're victorious. We win.
Yeah, Revelation 21:1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." I mean, a new heaven and a new earth sounds glorious. But inherit the earth, you know, how would you explain that to a new believer?
I mean, to be honest, I wasn't even sure.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
How would you explain this to yourself?
I wasn't even sure, you know. I thought along the lines of what G said. I think the first thing I would do is go to Esau, look up inherit and what all of that means. But that would be a good way. But my thought also was that it's kind of like, I'm just going to go very Christianese here. Take the earth for Jesus, if you like, right? In the sense that, you know, if you look at the world today, everything but Christ really seems to be in control. But then if you're able to be meek and walk like Jesus, you're able to bring his kingdom down here and be able to win people over while you're still here. So I think that's kind of like inheriting the earth, even though I think Jesus' explanation is by far more credible. Yeah.
Okay.
According to Professor Google.
Yes.
Professor Google says, I typed in, what does it mean to inherit the earth? Inherit the earth is a phrase from the Bible. It means to receive the blessings of God in this life and the next. It is based on the promise that God made to Abraham and his descendants, that's us. It is also to the kingdom of heaven, which is the ultimate goal of the believers.
And that would tie in to the, you know, us having life and having it abundantly. You know, and the fact that Jesus says he came that we may have life and
more
have it abundantly.
Yes.
But you know, that's it's that idea. Yeah, of inheriting the earth. You think, yeah, inheriting on this side, I mean the abundance of life, this side of heaven. But more importantly, for me, maybe it's the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah.
In Revelation,
yeah.
Because we're told that, you know, Paul writes that we're joint heirs with
are
Christ.
We heirs to, in that case,
yeah.
Are we heirs to? We're heirs to, you know, salvation. We're heirs to eternity. We're heirs to the riches and glory that are stored for us, you know, in heaven. We're heirs to the new heaven and the new earth. When, you know, judgment day comes and God judges all evil, we're heirs to all of that. And so when you think of inheritance, you think heirs, really.
Yeah.
And how then do we become heirs? How then can we benefit from this
inheritance? What a great question, my dear. Oh.
How can we benefit from this inheritance?
Yes.
Well, the way we can benefit from the inheritance is by being meek and humble enough
Yes.
to know that we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And that's a heart matter. That's a heart function. That's not a head function, because your head and your carnal mind will tell you you can do it all by yourself. You know, I think the Americans tend to say, correct me if I'm wrong, Christy, I can do bad all by myself.
Yeah.
But you can't do good all by yourself.
No, you can't. No,
you need help to do good. Mm-hmm. And so I think the meek heart, the lowly heart, the humble heart recognizes that they can't do good all by themselves. They recognize the fact that they need the power of the Holy Spirit in them to change them. And so you then submit yourself to Christ as your Savior and say, come into my life and transform me, transform my heart, because I know that I can't do it by myself. I know I can't earn salvation. I know I can't be a joint heir with you. I know I cannot inherit the new earth and the new heaven without you. And when your heart is meek and humble enough for you to accept that, then you become a joint heir. Then you can partake in this inheritance. Then at the wedding banquet, you're then there as a brother of Christ or a sister of Christ. You're not, you know, you're not on the outside looking in. You're part of the festivities.
Yeah.
And I think we need to, it's really interesting, I think, this particular one, because it fixes our eyes to the future, but at the same time deals with our hearts now. And that's a very powerful, and Jesus does this a lot, actually. He tells us of the things to come, but our hearts have to be right now. So if we have the right heart now, the meek heart that accepts the Holy Spirit, and then we know that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do all things. But we don't do all things. We treat people with love. We treat people with care. We ask for forgiveness, and we ask for grace to be meek, really, because sometimes we're not prone to be.
Yeah, it's not easy.
No, but then in doing that, we fix our eyes on eternity in the new heaven and the new earth, knowing that you're a joint heir, knowing that the promise is there of inheritance. And it's an inheritance where when your book is written in the book of life, when your name is written in the book of life, it's there. Yeah, you can't just go and rub it off. Okay, but when it's there, it's there. And if you invite the Holy Spirit to help you, and you really mean it, He will help you. I'm not saying you won't sin. I'm not saying the temptation to sin won't come. But what we are saying is that there's help available to avoid the sin. And when you do fall into sin, you'll know very quickly. You know, I was listening to I forget his name now. I listened to a pastor, and he said, the longer he's been a Christian, the more sinful he feels.
Yeah. Well,
he's probably not committing as many sins as he was when he was a non-believer. But the Holy Spirit in his heart is just exposing. He's just more aware. He's getting more convicted of the sins, and he's identifying the sins before they even happen. I mean, how many times have you gone to do something, and the Holy Spirit has checked you and gone,
You've done it.
Know.
Yeah.
And you know, and then you've immediately have to repent. Perhaps something that wouldn't have fazed you before you gave your life to Christ, you wouldn't even have thought twice about it.
Exactly.
But now you do it and then you just feel the need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you're any more sinful.
No.
Mm-mm.
It's just that your heart has been transformed and you're more aware of it.
You've been convicted by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, you are.
Exactly.
And that's the Holy Spirit's main job, isn't it? Is to convict us of our sins. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
And so
I think there's a reference for that, G, isn't there? Where Jesus is saying he'll send back the Holy Spirit. Might be a good thing to read to people.
Mm.
But yeah, so this idea of inheritance is a thing. Like it is. It's not just Christianese. I know sometimes it sounds very Christian-y, you know, it's like sometimes when Christians talk, people that aren't necessarily Christians sometimes find it hard to follow because some of the terminology used. But the idea of inheritance really is just talking about what's stored up for us when we leave earth. After the judgment day, that's the idea of inheritance. When you hear Christians talking about, you know, inheriting the earth or inheritance or their joint heirs, it's this idea that we have been bought. Christ has paid the ransom, he's paid the debt for us, and so now we belong to him. And because we belong to him, we can partake in his inheritance in heaven.
Yes,
all his blessings,
all the blessings that are stored up in heaven. We can start enjoying some of them this side of heaven, but not in all their fullness, because this life, this world is a broken world, this world is a fallen world. So although we may enjoy some of the blessings and goodness this side of heaven, the completion and the wholeness of it will be on the other side. And when you hear Christians talking about inheritance and being heirs, that's the idea to which it relates to. You know, it's this thing where it says, you know, the humble would receive a greater reward than the arrogant and the prideful. Because if you're humble in your heart, you know that you need a savior. You know that you'll fall short of that mark. You know that you're not holy. You know, we're told that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we all need the savior. And so not only do the meek enjoy more life here on earth because of our ability to be content in Christ and just be content with what we have and the strength that we have via the Holy Spirit, but we will also ultimately enjoy the earth after Jesus comes back in his triumphant entry.
Yes.
And the new heaven and the new earth is described in Revelation 21. And that's a glorious thing. Gumi, you're very quiet, and that's not like you at all. What are you pondering?
Giselle.
You got your thinking face on.
I'm actually listening. That should tell you that you're saying something important. Do you guys see how she's always suspicious? I'm thinking this girl is talking too much sense.
Yes, really. Right. Yes, she's on fire tonight again.
Okay.
That was a really good teaching. I was just thinking, no, this is true. I was listening intensely, guys.
Right.
Soaking up the information.
I think we've been friends for so long, we kind of go, we know, kind of, why are you so quiet? You're not normally the quiet one.
Yeah, but, she's not. Sure, she's not. No.
No.
that is a testament to the inspiration that's coming through you tonight.
Right. Okay. Praise Jesus. Oh, glory to Jesus. But yes, I think it is a beatitude, and it's, you know, the beatitudes are things that Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. So these are Jesus' words.
Yes.
These are things that Jesus actually said on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
So Jesus has promised this blessing, firstly here on earth, for those that are meek and humble and recognize that they need a savior, but also ultimately in heaven. For those that accept the savior and the inheritance. And if you think back to, I think, a couple of weeks ago, Easter, when we did our thing about, you know, our talk on the cross, and we said, what's in it for you?
Yes.
This is what's in it for you.
Yes, exactly.
such a nice follow-up, isn't it? It's such a nice follow-up.
Yes.
And I think,
and if you haven't listened, go back and listen to that.
Yes.
Yes. And I know Giselle and I joked about it before, right? But there is a thing where sometimes, yes, I'm coming for you, prosperity gospel people. People will be like, yes, you're joint heirs with Christ, and so you're entitled to all these riches. Guys, I'm not saying that you can't have prosperity. It's yes. fine. But I think we have to be careful because, yes, it's true. God can bless you, right? We've heard here about the inheritance. Inheritance is something that is passed on. So it is true. You can inherit the blessings of Abraham, which include riches. But that doesn't mean that we can go out there acting entitled to it. So please don't let people trip you up and say, oh, you have to do X, Y, and Z to get this, you know, wealth because you are completely entitled to the inheritance of Abraham. No, it's not true. There are some people who will never be truly very wealthy before they die. That doesn't mean that God doesn't favor you. That doesn't mean that you don't have the riches of God, because I think Jesus said that our real treasures are in heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of backs up that whole inheritance. So yeah, I just wanted to put that there, that don't allow yourself to be manipulated.
People are going to come at me for this, and that's fine. I'll take it. But I'm just going to say this. Of course, God wants you to be blessed and comfortable in this life, but he's more interested in your eternity than he is about your here.
Yes. Okay? Amen.
And if you look at the amount of times Jesus healed people and he said to them, your sins are forgiven, you know, like he healed them, but he didn't say your sight has been restored or your feet are working again or, oh, wake up, you've been resurrected. You know, Jesus very often in his miracles said to people, your sins have been forgiven. Go and sin no more. Even when he meets, you know, the woman that's been stoned, the adulteress, our women of the Bible, he says, you know, go and sin no more.
So
almost always, not in all of his miracles, but almost always, he forgives the sins because that's what he's interested in.
That was the real issue.
Yes, he's interested in your heart. He's interested in the state of your heart. He's interested in restoring your heart and wiping the slate clean. He is interested in your eternity, infinitely more than he is interested in your here and your now. Yeah. Of course, he wants you to reflect something of his glory here. Of course, he says, you know, ask for your daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. He taught us to pray that prayer. But just like Ngum says, just because you're not a millionaire or you're not rich doesn't mean that he's not interested in you.
Exactly. But also for blessings, for prosperity and everything, it's our spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily worldly material things. It's really not. It is our spiritual maturity.
Mm.
And as you say, so don't it? It's our soul, it's our salvation, it's our eternity that God is interested in.
Mm. Yeah. The state of your soul really matters, because what's really interesting is that you can have a lot of financial wealth, but your soul is in a terrible place, you know?
Yes.
How many times do we hear stories of very wealthy people who are on Prozac or who sadly end up, you know, ending their lives? So interestingly enough, if your soul, I think, and it's in the New Testament, it says about your soul being prosperous, you know, the world will call it mindset, but the real prosperity in this world starts in the soul. That's why you have some people who may not even necessarily believe in God, but they just have carried this resilience and this positivity. Yes. And that's why they can fail so many times and rise again.
Mm.
If your soul is healthy, and you touched on it, you don't know why Jesus will say to, I think it was the guy who got healed by the pool in Bethesda, Jesus was like, don't sin again, because you'll find yourself in a state worse than this. Because probably there was something about that man's soul that put him in that place. So he's like, this is the real remedy. You're looking at me resolving the symptoms, but if you try this thing again, you're going to go there. And how many times do we see that with addiction, with whatever? So if you're not rich in the soul, that's a very big problem.
That's it.
And that's what Jesus is interested in. He's asked
for us that's to what come that's to forever.
Yes, come to the cross.
Yes.
That's what's in it for you. There are treasures laid up in heaven for you.
Yes.
There's an inheritance waiting for you.
Yes.
A joint heir, not a sub heir, not a miniature heir. You're a joint heir with Jesus.
Yeah.
Like that to me, I mean, the fact that Jesus would even consider sharing the plunder with me,
that's a testament to his meekness, right? Because he could be like, all of you stand here. I died for you. I'm going to lord it over you. Do whatever
Literally.
I say.
Exactly.
And he would have the right to do it, right? But he's like, yeah, I died for you, but let's just share this thing together.
Let's
50,
share it
50, I'm
together.
cool. Yeah. You know? Like, what? You know?
Yeah, so come to the cross. Come and find out what riches are stored up there for you. Riches that would make the storms and the trials of this world bearable. Because, you know, we're not, you know, diminishing the fact that people don't go through stuff. We know we have, you know, we know that there are some people are going through some really turbulent times. And so we're not diminishing that.
Yeah.
What we are saying is in Christ Jesus, they become bearable because there's grace. Grace abounds to deal with that suffering and that pain. And he makes it bearable. So come to him. And he will give you rest. Come and rest in him.
Mm-hmm.
He has said that his yoke is light, and you know, and his burden's light and his yoke is easy. Come over and swap yours. Leave your heavy burdens at his feet.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what it is. He'll give you his yoke and his light burdens. Just drop yours. He's willing to substitute himself for you. And that's a really powerful promise for anybody that's going through anything heavy. And if you're the sort of person that you don't have anything heavy going on, you're just coasting through life because, hey-ho, life has been kind to you and you don't really have burdens, you're just coasting through life, come to him. And find a deeper sense of meaning. Find out that you don't have to just coast through life. Like, there is purpose for your life. Come and find out what it is. And you may not, you know, have had sicknesses and hard times to deal with. Life has been pretty good to you. Still come to him because you'll find a depth of meaning there that you perhaps haven't found before. You'll find the love there that you're perhaps looking for elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Like the woman of the world was quite clearly looking for love in marriages. But there's a depth there that Jesus gives that you can't find anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that's his invitation. So thank you, ladies. It's been a wonderful conversation.
Yes,
indeed. Indeed. It's been amazing.
It has been. Shall we close off in prayer?
Yes.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for the Beatitudes. Thank you for the lessons that we learned from them. So far, they seem to speak about a real heart change. They seem to point us to the fact that our hearts need changing. A, to recognize that we need a Savior and we can't change it on our own. And so we need to be humble enough to come to you and submit ourselves to you, asking the Holy Spirit to help us to change. Thank you for the promise of the inheritance of the earth. Thank you because that is such a glorious promise, one which we probably will never understand the fullness of this side of heaven. Lord, as we anticipate and wait eagerly to behold exactly what that inheritance is, help us to keep our eyes fixed on the prize. Help us to run our race here and finish it well, so that when we do meet you, you can say those words to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Help us, Lord, to bring others to you so they may partake in the inheritance. Let us not keep the good news of the gospel for ourselves. Let us share this with others. Change hearts, Lord. Bring people to the cross, that they may truly understand what it is that you have to offer, salvation and life eternal. something which we all desperately need and will look for, and some people in all the wrong places. Redirect those hearts to you, Lord. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would be with those who are perhaps going through a difficult time at the moment. Help them to know that they can come to you, they can come to the cross and find rest. Some people just want rest. Help them to know, Lord, that they can find rest in you. And they can just come and be with you. Replenished, revitalized, grace and strength for every day. Father, we ask that this will also be what you have in store for us. We ask for grace and strength for every day. Help us to be those that point others to you, not away from you. Thank you for Ngum and Giselle. Pray, Lord, that you would bless them this coming week. And everybody that's listened and contributed and will listen. We ask, Lord, that you'd bless them all. And keep us all in good health until next week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Sidonie, we want to thank God for you as well. Mm-hmm. And we want to pray that he will bless you and your family.
Amen.
In every way that you need, and that he will continue to just speak through you, because the way this girl is going these days, I was like, whoa, what is going on? Is there like light dripping down from her or something?
I told you guys, she was not quiet. She's not normally quiet.
Guys, we're very grateful for her. We're very grateful. Sidonie is a real teacher. When she was talking, I was like, God bless you, bless you, bless you. Keep doing what you're doing, girl. And you too,
yes. Right. Good night, everybody in Facebook.
Good night, everybody.
Yes, good night. We'll see you next week.
Next week.
And good night, everybody in Zoom land and watching us on playback. Good night.
Good night.
And God
bless you.